be stricken from the records.
Objection sustained.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
Okay, proceed we will. Coming to you live from the iHeart Studios in West Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to Lifestyles in the Law today. This show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and main witness number one, along with witness number six, our stand-in show producer, Claudia Vargas. And you, my good friend, are the best witness a show host could ever wish for. And to that we say, thank you for being with us today. This is the place where the coolest legal minds gather for the latest legal news and time-saving tips, along with the latest community event information. Our mission is educating those in need of legal representation with a solid base of top legal minds and scholars. Here's a thought. The only time you need legal personal injury representation is after you're injured, right? So if you become injured or simply need good advice, call the good folks at the Robes Law Group and they will be happy to assist you. Their mission is getting you well and putting your life back in order. That's how the legal minds work over at the Robes Law Group. If you've been injured, make contact with the mothership by dialing 561-570-5700. They have offices in Delray Beach and throughout Palm Beach County, or you may visit their website at robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on today's show, Sean Gearhart from the Affordable Divorce Center is with us. And Tammy Wynette sang a song about it in 1968, and it still holds true 52 years later. D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Stay with us, and you'll discover why it's so popular. Then Claudia Vargas checks in with all the satisfied Robes clients who have had happy results. That's coming right up. And in the news, yet another Florida man does it again. We'll tell you what happened in just a moment. And in our Hammer the Scammer segment today, we'll take a look at how scammers draw you into their scam by offering gifts and money. That's coming up right after the news. And then acrophobia. In 35 minutes, if need be, we will climb the highest mountain to find the answer. Acrophobia from the top of the ladder. Don't be afraid to look that up. Just a friendly reminder, tell a friend about the show and invite them to listen. Maybe a bunch of us will show up at your house every Saturday from 2 to 3. Or you can just listen right here on AM 1290 WJNO. But right now, let's take a look at the South Florida's latest legal headlines, brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlights is our headlights. Here with today's headlines and sometimes headlights is our consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder. Rick, what do you got?
Thank you, Alan. Most of us Floridians have been to Disneyland, and we love it. But we always go in when the park is open. A Florida man has been sneaking in, and we'll have details on that one. And another Florida man story. This man was convicted of a crime he didn't commit and served 43 years in the penitentiary. Details coming up at 12:30 on the Robes Newscast.
Okay, thanks, Rick. We appreciate that. When we return, Sean Gearhart is here. I have a question about divorce. Dare I say it? Divorce. We are live and the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 561-570-5700. Don't go back. We'll be right away.
Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's R-O-B-E-S, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com.
All right, welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, here to introduce a few happy people. Claudia, do you have a list of happy people there? By the way, folks, we get this list from the Robes Law Group Facebook app. It's facebook.com/Robes Law Group. You could go there right now and read along with us. Claudia, what do you have?
Yes, we have a few ones. This is from Audrey.
Okay.
She said, I had an amazing experience with Robes Law Group. We settled for more than I wanted, and they helped me recover another $10,000 from the gap insurance. Ooh. After my car was totaled.
Nice.
They called all my doctors, got all my medical records and bills for me, and even talked them down in their prices, saving me even more money. Their entire staff was very understanding, knowledgeable, and extremely helpful. They returned my calls and answered all my questions immediately. I definitely use them again and recommend to anyone that is in need of a personal injury lawyer. They exceeded my expectations.
Oh, great. Si habla español? They probably do.
Yes,
there.
They do. Yeah. Esteban speaks Spanish.
Oh, Esteban, yeah. He's a good guy. So you got another one? We got time for one more.
Yes, this comes from Mark. Okay. He says, when it comes to communication, Tom and his entire staff will take the time to discuss all options with you and willingly listens to your questions. He is incredibly down to earth and, more importantly, passionate about what he does. Mm. I was pleasantly impressed by his professionalism, upbeat personality, dedication, enthusiasm, and total knowledge regarding personal injury and my rights as a civilian.
Mm. Gotta be a civilian, right?
Absolutely. She said, I highly recommended Tom and his superb staff at Robes. They have created a wonderful company. Should you require personal injury attorneys who actually return your phone calls and emails in a timely manner? The team at Robes is remarkable.
All right. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. You probably read it just like Mark would read it. I like that. Folks, if you're looking for the best outcome, call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700. Or like I said, you can check out their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Robes Law Group.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay, our first super guest earned his Juris Doctorate degree from Barry University School of Law. He's rated by the Martindale Hubble as the leading source for rating attorneys based on ethical standards and legal ability. He graduated cum laude from the University of South Florida with a BA degree in communication. Sean Gearhart, welcome to Lifestyles in the Law Today.
Alan, thanks for having me.
Great. A BA in communications? That's pretty impressive.
No, not really. I think a lot of people go for communications degrees when they don't want to do anything else.
Listen, you have to communicate with the judge. You have to communicate with the client. Communications is probably a pretty important thing, I would think.
It is.
So you practice all aspects of family, marital law, and disillusion.
At times, it can be very delusional.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you bet. I can't imagine having to work in that industry. First off, you got two crazy people that that you have to deal with. I shouldn't say crazy people, but they're not happy.
No, the emotions definitely run high. But what I try to focus on is getting a good outcome for both the husband and the wife, and especially if there's kids, focus on the kids, because that's the most important thing.
There you go. Well, I know you can please some of the people some of the time, blah, blah, blah. You know that story.
Right.
How do you please both of them that are mad at each other?
You can't.
Best answer. You can't.
You just do the best job that you can.
So you work for the kids. That's the most important part. Yeah. Can I relocate to a different state after I've gotten divorced? Can I take my kid and go somewhere else?
Well, that's one of the hardest things to do. It's actually a question we get a lot. People want to move from where they're located when they got a divorce. There's actually a statute on that.
Oh.
And you can't move more than 50 miles from where you were when the divorce was filed, absent an agreement between the two parties,
right,
or an order from the court.
Wow. Who somebody go out and measure that? How do they do that?
Well, it's a straight line. It's 50 miles.
As the crow flies.
That is correct.
Wow, that could be inconvenient if you're in a weird city that doesn't, you have to stay where you are, right? They make you do that.
Well, what happens is, so the state takes a viewpoint that, you know, again, going back to the best interest of the children. The best interest of the children is that they have ongoing, continuing contact with both parents.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, you have to live somewhat close together. And if you're moving past that 50 miles, then it kind of, you know, violates the public policy of frequent and continuing contact.
Yeah. I don't want to have to drive 150 miles or say even Orlando. That's 2.5-3 hours up.
Exactly.
2.5-3 hours back. How long are you going to be able to stay with your children? 3-4 hours?
And usually what you do in that kind of a situation is you meet halfway on the turnpike at the Fort Drum Plaza.
Right. Well, that is about halfway.
And the only reason I know that is it's because it's halfway between here and Orlando.
Yeah. So, yeah, so now you're limited to that. That's really a tough deal.
Yeah.
It's best to divorce on good terms, right?
Yeah. It really is. If you can remain amicable, because your marriage might fail and you may not get along with that person anymore, but if you have kids, you're going to co-parent for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Forget about 18. Mm-hmm. The kids are going to go to school. They're going to go to college afterwards. And you're going to co-parent with this person for the rest of your life.
Have you ever heard the phrase, well, you were once in love with them, well, how about now? Is that a worn-out old phrase? Don't use that anymore?
Not anymore, no.
They hit you, right?
They do, yeah.
Well, you were once in love with them, not anymore. Oh, okay. Well, that's tough. Can I waive child support if there's children involved?
So in Florida, child support is actually considered property of the children.
Yeah.
It's not considered property of the parents, so a parent can't waive that.
Oh.
There's an actual formula that you take in the number of overnights, the income of the parties, any costs for daycare or health insurance, and it's an algorithm.
Did somebody write an app for this?
There are some online, but they're not very good. We actually have software that we use to run child support guidelines.
Oh wow, that's interesting. I had no idea. I did a divorce one time. I did it on my own because it was just easy to do. You know, you fill out the paperwork and she signs, you sign, and boom, off you go. And I did that. And it was all, we had it all laid out what we would do for the kids and all that stuff. Boom, done. And a friend of mine a couple of years later said, can I do that? I said, yeah, knock yourself out, man. It's easy. Just fill out the paperwork and go. Not really. He had kids too, but I guess the laws had changed. This was back in the 90s.
Well,
so the laws had changed. And he said, man, this is crazy. I can't do this. So what do you do?
Well, it also
get an attorney.
If you're in agreement with your spouse,
right,
it becomes a lot easier. It sounds like you had a pretty good agreement going in.
Yeah.
Most people going into a divorce are not on the same page.
Mm.
You know, I hear a lot, people will come in, they'll say, oh, we agree about everything. We just need you to write an agreement. Everybody's going to sign it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we draft the agreement. We have the client come in. They sign it. They take it to their spouse, and the spouse is like, "No way,
I'm not doing that."
It. Yeah.
That's got to be the hardest job in the world. I don't even think digging ditches. I mean, wow, you're dealing with people that aren't happy. I guess How do you settle that down?
You just focus on the case. You don't take the emotional stuff with you. You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't.
Emotional. Yeah, you spelled tequila wrong.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, you can't, at least for me, I try not to get personally involved. This isn't my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to help somebody else in their life, but it's not my life.
Well, kudos to you. Ooh. What about the guy that says, or the girl says, I don't want my spouse to have 50% custody. What are the chances that I can get away with that?
Well, today, in today's world, the prevailing view, like I just said previously, is that the public policy of the state is that the children have frequent, ongoing, continuing contact with both parents.
Yeah.
So the prevailing view today is, unless there's some kind of detriment to the child, whether it be alcohol abuse, drug abuse, something like that, the prevailing view is 50-50.
Yeah, and there's not, and that's fair.
It is fair. And look, there are many different reasons why 50-50 can't work, some of which I just talked about.
Right.
But there can be job scheduling conflicts. If a parent works at night and they're not able to do overnights, you know, that can be a reason why there shouldn't be 50-50. But if everybody's on equal footing, They work during the day, they work Monday through Friday, even if they don't work Monday through Friday, we have firefighters that come in that have very odd schedules, okay?
Yep.
And we're able to work around those and do a 50-50 schedule.
That must be difficult.
There's different there's different configurations for doing 50-50.
Right.
But there's also very creative ways you can still get there. So if one parent isn't able to exercise time sharing throughout the week because of work or whatever the situation is, over the summer, they may be able to increase their time sharing to still equal that 50-50.
Right. I mean, I can juggle three balls easily, but man, I don't know if I could juggle two parents that are mad at each other.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like that would be fun. How about if I own property before I got married? Is my spouse entitled to half of that property? I mean, it's something I did without the other person being involved.
Typically, no. So if you have non-marital property, the typical answer is going to be no.
You're going to have to share it.
No, you won't have to share it.
Oh, you don't have to share it.
No, no. If it's premarital, if you own that premarital, However, there are some situations, usually when you have real estate, mm-hmm. and there's been a long-term marriage, you know, more than 15 years, okay? Right. And let's say one spouse owned the house prior to the marriage, but during the marriage, they used marital funds to pay down a mortgage.
Okay.
Let's say they put an addition on,
right.
and it increased the value of the home.
Right.
Then the other spouse could claim the higher equity, the equity that occurred during the marriage,
yeah.
they should be entitled to half of that through efforts of paying down the mortgage or increasing the value of the home.
Yeah, you don't want either side to be mistreated. Fair is fair, and that's the way they were. I have a buddy of mine who just went through that, but his mother left him an inheritance, and he used the inheritance to buy the house. And when the divorce word came up, she's like, I want half this house. And I don't remember. I don't think he had to give that up.
Well, in that situation, if the inheritance was used to purchase the house,
right.
and she was put on the deed at the same time,
ooh.
And there was no agreement that he would be repaid for that, either down payment or outright purchase, if she was put on the deed, that would be considered a gift, and she would be entitled to half of that.
Yeah. Yes. So, be careful when you...
When you're dealing with inherited money, you've got to be very careful on what you do with it.
Is my spouse entitled to my inheritance?
The typical answer is no. However, if you receive an inheritance and you put those funds into a joint bank account with your wife, then it's going to be very hard to trace that inherited money and separate it from the other money that's already in the bank account, money that's being deposited in the bank account after the fact. So it becomes a bit of a tracing issue. But the standard response is no.
Right.
However, there's always an exception.
But, you know, no one thinks of that stuff. You know, when you're getting married, you're happy and you love each other and everything's great and everything's cool. It takes a few years to settle in, I guess.
Right.
And then boom. Folks, if you have a question about divorce, dare I say the word, you know the number to call, 561-570-5700. The lines are open. We are live. All right. What if I want to keep my home? Say the spouse and I decide to split, and she says, I want half the home. I said, well, you know, I want to keep it. I like it. I want to live here. What happens then?
So when you're dealing with real property, there's a couple of different ways to deal with that. If both parties want the home, obviously you can't split the home in half. The court's generally going to order that house to be sold, and whatever deficiency or equity is left, then the parties are going to split that. Okay. However, there doesn't really matter how you get the money, but if one party is dead set on keeping that,
right.
then they would have to buy the other person out. So if there was $100,000 in equity in the house, the one spouse that wanted to keep the house would have to pay the other $50,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Have a nice day.
Correct.
Yeah. I've heard of that before.
And a follow-up to that is if the mortgage is in both names, then the person keeping the house would only have a certain amount of time to refinance that out of the other spouse's name, because that then becomes a liability. So if the one spouse who retained the home didn't make the mortgage payments, it would negatively impact the other spouse.
Yeah, I think Tammy Wynette was correct.
Yeah.
D.I. over, yeah, who the heck wants that? Yeah, that's something you should really make sure that you're solid with before. And then, we'll talk in the second half about prenuptials and stuff like that. Man, that's got to be pretty wild. The legal world has got us all shook up, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. How about my retirement and things like that? I know a couple of guys, like I said, the firefighters, they have nice pension and all that stuff. And how's that? Do they get part of that pension?
Absolutely. If the pension accrued during the marriage, this is the general rule. If anything accrued during the marriage, it's going to be marital. And it's subject to equitable distribution. It's subject to division. Okay.
Right.
So we see this most of the time with firefighters and law enforcement,
right.
sheriff's deputies,
right.
even municipalities, where they're in either the drop program or the regular retirement program.
Mm-hmm.
If it accrued during the marriage, then at the end, that's going to be split up.
And that's aside from child support, right?
That is considered property. That's subject to equitable distribution, division of property. Child support's a totally separate issue, as is alimony.
I'll tell you a weird story. I'm not going to say any names here because I don't give it away. He was a friend of mine. He was a policeman, and he was getting a divorce and then died.
Mm.
So she gets...
Well, if he designated her as the beneficiary and never changed that, then she's going to be the designated beneficiary of those benefits.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So if like he's the only person that contributes to the retirement, that means that he should be able to keep it all, right?
It doesn't matter who contributed. So when you're married, any money that's made during the marriage is considered marital.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't
property.
Matter. It wouldn't matter if only one person contributed to it because it's marital funds.
How about student loans? That's a hot topic today. Everybody wants to know about what's going to happen to student loans. If my spouse takes out a student loan while we're married, will I be responsible for that loan after we're divorced?
Yes, you can be responsible for it. It would be considered a marital debt. And again, if it was used for the furtherance of the marriage, to help one of the spouse who went to school to get a better job, to improve the quality of life for the family, then that's going to be subject to division.
And as I understand it, student loans can't be written off. You can't go bankrupt. You can get rid of them. You got them forever.
It's very rare that you can bankrupt a student loan right now. Very rare.
Whew. Folks, you have a question about divorce. Now's the time to call. Sean Gearhart's right here. He's the expert on it. And I think you can tell by his answers so far. He knows what he's talking about. So after the break, Sean Gearhart will still be with us. If you have a question, give us a call. He has an affordable answer for you. Phone lines are open, 561-570-5700. And when we return, I think Sean and I will sing Tammy Wynette's super hit, Divorce. And maybe you don't want to hear that. I don't know.
If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com.
All right, coming up on the second half of the show, Sean Gearhart is still with us. Have a question about divorce? Here's your chance to ask the expert. We are live and the phone lines are open, 561-570-5700. Then our show producer will tell us how scammers use fake royalty to scam you from your cash. Wait until you hear this one. Hammer the Scammer segment's coming right up. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news, brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word ROBES, that's ROBES, to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a beach bucket full of the funny stuff. Rick, what's going on in the world of lawlessness?
A South Florida man is being investigated for trespassing, sneaking into Central Florida theme parks after hours, and taking unauthorized walking tours of the attractions. Law enforcement's looking into a series of videos posted on social media that appear to show trespassers in the park after hours and now taking unauthorized walking tours with a camera. Videos recorded in off-limit areas of the Expedition Everest roller coaster at Walt Disney World's Animal Kingdom theme park and on a closed water slide at Universal Orlando's Volcano Bay water park were recently posted on YouTube by Matthew St. Cyr, who considers himself to be among a group of hobbyists known as urban explorers. They venture into abandoned buildings and other man-made structures, often without permits from the property owner. He's still on the loose, but they know where he is, and they'll be talking to him very soon and reminding him that the ticket booths are open during the day, and that's how you should get in to those theme parks. 43 years ago, this Florida man was convicted of a crime he didn't commit. He served 43 years in prison before his conviction was overturned, but the state of Florida refuses to grant him reparations for all those years. Now the Florida Attorney General's office has reversed its earlier decision, and Nathan Myers will get his due, $2 million in reparations for the life that was shattered four decades ago, back when he was a teenager. The money will be awarded under the state's Victims of Wrongful Incarceration Act, and the maximum allowed, $2 million, $50,000 a year. Among other things, the money will allow him to take care of his wife, whom he married while he was in prison. That's the news on the Robes Law Group newscast. Alan, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Rick. We always appreciate there's a Florida man. That seems to be the topic lately, a Florida man.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
All right, Sean Gearhart is still with us. Welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. Sean, thanks for coming in, taking your Saturday. And
not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, hanging out with us. You could be down at the beach having more fun than what's legally allowed. All right, we said in the second half we were going to talk about prenuptial agreements. Boy, isn't that sort of like a negative right off the bat? Hey, let's get married. I love you. But... Well, sign this paper.
Considering what I do, no, I don't think it is at all. Look, if you have considerable assets, then you want to protect those. You know, you don't want to leave that up to chance. So a prenuptial agreement is a very good idea if you have substantial assets going into the marriage.
You really have to think ahead on that one, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially where we're at. You know, and if people are getting married later in life, they may have accumulated quite a bit of wealth.
Sure.
So.
What about international stuff? Does that we play by our rules? What about their rules?
Well, no, there's something called the Hague Convention, which governs certain things, but typically a divorce is only going to happen in one place. So it's not going to have a divorce proceeding going on in England and a divorce proceeding going on here in Florida. Actually, just we're wrapping one up right now, where the husband is a citizen of Great Britain, our client is obviously a United States citizen. And we're just wrapping up that one right now. And there is a small child. They will be doing time sharing, right, where the child will be flying over to Great Britain.
Hey, I heard a guy on the radio said he can get rid of your timeshare. I guess that's something.
Yeah, that's something different.
All right.
And that's tough, too. I don't know anybody buying timeshares these days.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, they can't double dip then, right? You can't say, well, I'm taking you for a divorce in London and here in the States, and I'm getting alimony from here, and I'm getting alimony from there, too. That doesn't work.
No, you wouldn't be able to do that. No.
Same thing with custody. And like you said, it's one place, and that's it.
Typically, so in Florida, Florida is a transient state. So people will come, you know, and one party will move. A lot of times what will happen is you'll have a child. The one spouse will take the child, move out of state before anything is filed. Okay.
It
creates issues of jurisdiction. So Florida would have jurisdiction initially. But if they move, if the spouse and the child move to another state where in that state long enough, then that state can acquire jurisdiction over custody. So there is a situation where you could have a divorce happening in one state, but custody be determined in another state, the courts are actually having to discuss with each other what they believe is in the best interest.
That's headaches.
It is. And, usually will happen in that situation. We'll pick one court and try to do everything in one court.
So if, and I don't mean to play on, it could be either gender, it could be a he or a she, but if one of the, get out of the house. Okay. So you move out just so you don't have to argue and fight. And then you go to the house one day and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They went to another state or something like that. What's the first thing you should do?
Well, I have a case like that going on right now. And what we do is, so if they've just left and the state where they have moved has not gotten jurisdiction yet, we would file the divorce case here and file a motion to have the child returned to Florida. The spouse can stay wherever she wants to, but the child should be brought back to Florida. Florida has initially the only jurisdiction to determine time sharing, child support, things of that nature.
That's good to know, because I know a lot of guys that or girls, doesn't matter which one, You get lackadaisy on that stuff, and hey, they moved. Okay, so what? Oh, wait a minute. Now a divorce is coming. You may not be discussing divorce.
Right.
You just get out of here. I don't want to live with you anymore. So you get out, and then they move.
And they move. And if they're gone long enough, and the other state acquires jurisdiction, then you're going to be dealing with a long a long distance divorce where you're going to have to go to a different state to get that
back
done.
Back and forth. Yeah. How long is that period? Is that
a divorce?
No. If my spouse moves, takes the kid.
It depends on the state. So if you're here for 6 months, then Florida has jurisdiction. Now, and that's usually about the same, but there could be other states that have a longer period of time to which they would have to attach jurisdiction.
Wow.
So, and I'm only licensed in Florida, so I couldn't say what it is in Georgia or New York.
Oh, that's another good point. What happens? You retain legal counsel, mm-hmm. and you can practice law in Florida, but not California. They move to California.
Correct.
Does that hurt you, or do you have to hire an attorney in
California? You may have to hire an attorney in California. Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. I had one last year where, unfortunately, so the child, the parents lived in Virginia when the child was born. They were there for 2 months. They moved to Florida. Everybody was intact in Florida for about a month. So nobody had home state jurisdiction. The wife and the child then moved up north somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fighting to have jurisdiction here in Florida, but it didn't work out. So,
wow.
you know, that client ended up retaining us to file an action and ended up having to hire an attorney up north to follow through with the action up there.
And like you said in the earlier part of the show, it's all about the kids. It's for the kids. And it blows my mind why one parent would do something like that to spite another parent. I imagine that's what it would be. And now you're involving the child, and that's the one who suffers.
The general viewpoint should be, you know, what is in the best interest of the child or the children. Right. And it's not the norm where one parent does take the child, but it does happen frequently.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not the norm.
And there's not much you can do about it. You can't grab hold and force them to stay. I'm moving out and I'm leaving and I'm taking the kid. Oh, no, you're not. And then
right.
you touch her and then guess what?
Yeah, and then you're going to go to jail.
Yeah, and you're going to lose the kid. That's
correct.
For sure. Yeah.
Correct. Because that's in part of the statute. If for shared parental responsibility, the court has to award shared parental responsibility. Unless it can be proven, shared parental responsibility would be a detriment to the child. One of the ways to prove detriment is domestic violence.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Egg him on. Get him to take a swing.
And unfortunately, that does happen.
And what happened when the parent take the children out of the country?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. They go somewhere else.
So that's a completely different situation. So there is something called the Hague Convention, and there are many countries that are part of the Hague Convention, which governs international or parental kidnapping. So if we had a situation like that where the parent took the child to a Hague Convention country, it would be we could get the child back. It's a lot more involved, but we could get the child back. If they go to a non-Hague Convention country,
Not much you can do.
Not a lot you can do.
Ouch.
Correct.
You know, that brings up another point. We talked about this prior to the show. A lot of times, and I'm not saying it's maybe it is frequent, you would know, one spouse will go to the authorities and say, I think my spouse is having sex with my child. And then immediately what happens?
Well, there would be a DCF investigation. Law enforcement would get involved. There would be a medical exam of the child. To see if the accusations could be proved to be true. And if they are, then there's going to be consequences. Right. And if they're not, it's not going to look very good for the person that made that accusation.
Yeah, you could. That'll be brought up in the divorce trial for sure, right?
It will.
Yeah, absolutely. Look what she did or he did to... it's funny, you have to go he or she nowadays, right? It doesn't.
Well, we're actually getting away from husband and wife.
Oh, gosh.
Now it's just petitioner and respondent because, you know, we have same-sex marriage.
I'm in love with my petitioner.
Yeah.
Well, things change. Life's like that, I guess. So does that happen frequently, or is that just a rare thing when a spouse would go to the police and say, hey, I think something's going on here?
I have not seen that very often. I've had one case like that I can remember, and that, you know, there were some real issues there.
Yeah, yeah. Who went to jail?
Nobody.
The petitioner.
Nobody that I know of.
That's kind of that's hitting below the belt, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it really is. Most of the time, we don't hear things about sexual incidents in nature, but there are a lot of times where one spouse will claim that there's been issues of domestic violence.
He slaps the kid around, right?
Well, no, even the other spouse.
Yeah.
Right. And that's unfortunately, that's if you own a house with another person, then that's their property. You can't just force them out of that house.
Yeah.
However, if there's been domestic violence and you get a temporary injunction, that's a way to get the other spouse out of the house.
Oh, what a game. What a wicked game.
It can be.
I don't know who wrote that song, but it is a wicked game.
It can be.
Sure. Folks, you have a question about divorce? This is the time to ask it. We've got the expert sitting right here with us. Sean Gearhart is here. He's with the Affordable Divorce Center. Why do you call it that?
So our whole goal is to meet the need in the community for people right. that can't normally afford legal representation.
Yeah.
So my boss, Mark Maynor, who has Maynor and Associates,
right.
So many people were coming in and could not afford his retainer. So he spun off Affordable Divorce Center, where we have a lower retainer. We offer payment plans, and the hourly rate is lower than Mark's.
Do you have your own alimony dartboard?
You know, that's a good comment. You know, where we talked about child support earlier, where there's a formula for child support, but right. for alimony, there is none. Now, there's 9 family law judges on the bench here in Palm Beach County, 3 in South County, 3 in Maine, 3 mm-hmm. in North. I could have the same facts, same case, get different alimony numbers from each judge.
Did he have his cornflakes in the morning?
Who knows?
There's no way to tell.
There's no rhyme or reason. Again, there's no formula. There's no way. You know, there is a range, and you'll hear people talking about, well, you know, we usually have this range of a percentage. And, okay, you can use that as a guide, but there is no formula for the judges to use.
Yeah. So say that bachelor degree in communications probably works right. out pretty good for you there, right?
I've done okay.
Yeah. That's crazy. Can you appeal that? If Judge A says it's X amount per month, and you say, well, I think that's outrageous.
Sure.
So do you take it to another judge? Or
no, you'd file a motion for a hearing first,
right.
and if the judge denied that, then you'd file your notice of appeal.
With the fourth district. Yeah, with another, okay. Wow, what a heck of a game to have to play, right?
Yes.
Just for that. I have a friend of mine who thinks that, I don't know if I agree with him or not, but it is kind of an interesting concept. He says, if you get married and you want to get divorced, knock yourself out, just snap your fingers and you got it. But if you have kids...
That's a different story.
No divorce.
Right.
No. You have to live together. And I said, how's that going to work?
No.
He said, you make it work. You got kids. You got to take care of the kids.
You know, and I've seen that too. What it ends up doing, the children are very perceptive.
They know it.
And it will affect them in the long run. If people think staying together in a bad marriage is helping the kids in any way, they're probably wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Get away from it as quick as you can. Yeah, that's kind of a weird... Well, I'm glad I only went through this once in my life, and I'm done with it. I don't think the one I have now is going to let me get a divorce. It's some sort of a mandatory. So we talked about, we've got a scammer segment coming up, and we talked to you earlier. I said, do you have any scams, any divorce scams?
No divorce scams. No, but I mean...
It's hard to do, right? How do you scam that?
Well, I mean, people will evade being served. You know, there's, you know, and people will make false allegations on their financial affidavit.
Yeah.
So you sometimes will have to hire a forensic accountant to go through all of the records, the financial records, to see if anything is being withheld.
Right.
But, you know, it's usually people that have their own businesses. You know, we'll have to go through all the books.
Sure, because they got the bucks.
Correct.
Yeah, I want my cut. And that's
right.
the way it works.
And usually, you know, I shouldn't say usually, but a lot of times, small business owners will pay personal expenses out of a business. And if they're doing that, that would be considered income to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Boy, for purposes of both child support and alimony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about company owners? Is there any way they can... Well, we were going to talk about scams, but is there any way a company owner can protect, like you said, don't pay personal bills out of there, right?
Yeah. Right. That's keep the books clean. Don't, you know, if you're an employee of your company, pay yourself a wage, keep the books clean. Don't pay personal expenses out of the books.
Right.
You know,
and that's so easy. I know a lot of guys that own small businesses, and that's just the way they roll.
Right.
Yeah. We do that all the time. Hey, I need that. Hey, write it out of the company
Correct.
Account.
They don't even have another bank account.
Yeah. That's probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Are you listening to that, Frank? No, I have a lot of friends that do that kind of stuff. All right, so now you said you had a scam. You got scammed.
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened, but last week my bank called me and let me know there was some fraud on my credit card.
Mm.
Then my credit card was never out of my possession, but somebody, I guess, cloned it, put it on another card, and was trying to use it in gas stations around West Palm Beach.
That's the typical... did you get that resolved? Or?
I did, yeah. But it's just amazing to me. I mean, the card was it was always in my wallet, never out of my possession, and somehow somebody got that information, was able to put it on a blank credit card.
Yeah, usually it's at the gas pumps. And here's a little tip for you, folks. We've talked about this before on our scammer segment. When you're pumping gas, take a look at the actual physical pump. you can see that there's a place where a panel can be removed or something like
right.
that. They usually put a piece of tape over that, and it's a state regulated. It's got a state stamp on it, and boom. If you don't see that tape there, and the pump is not near the window where the clerk can see it, I would go to another pump and pump there, because that's how the scammers, they take the front panel off mm-hmm. the pump, they put a little card in there that reads and detects your card and gets all the numbers, and they know what your PIN number is because you're punching it
right.
in. So, and if it's far enough away from the attendant, they can't see them doing that. And here's another little tip. I do this personally. I end all my gasoline purchases with the number 47. So if I'm pumping $40 worth of gas, it's $40.47. If it's 50, it's $50.47. It's just pick any number that you want. And I was scammed, and I called the credit card company, and I told the guy, it's not my charge. He goes, well, how could you tell? I said, because it doesn't end in 47. And the clerk looks at me, he says, yeah, you're right. I'm looking down the list. Everything ends in 47. Yeah. So that one's not mine. They immediately took it off.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That was the end of it. Yeah. Folks, we have a few more minutes. If you have a question for Sean Gearhart, he's right here, 561-570-5700. We'll be happy to answer any of your divorce questions. Man, that's a country music theme song right there.
It is.
Divorce. Attorney's fees. Your slice of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get my spouse to pay for attorney's fees?
You can. You have to request that either with the initial filing. Typically, that's going to be done in a petition.
Right.
And usually you'll see that when there's a lot of income disparity. So if one spouse has mainly been the breadwinner of the family,
right.
they're going to end up contributing something towards the other person's attorney's fees.
Right.
Or if one person is just litigating for no reason, you know, trying to advance.
Yeah.
yeah, for no reason at all. It's called vexatious litigation. The court can then award attorney's fees if somebody's just litigating to litigate.
Say that again.
Vexatious litigation.
Ooh, that yeah. sounds tall.
That's a $20 word. Yeah. Vexatious.
Well, you do that and there's no cure for it either.
There is yeah. not. No.
So, all right. So now we know who to get a hold of if we need to get some good legal advice. And we appreciate you taking your time coming on the show today.
Oh, I appreciate you having me, Alan.
Hey, man, you've been great. Let's see. What do we do next? What do you want to do? Hey, listen to this.
When you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon. This is Christina at the Rob Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day, every day. So be aware of... And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Robes Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Robes Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
Okay, Christina, good to hear from you again. Welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. I'm Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, along with our show producer, Claudia Vargas, with a message for those afflicted with acrophobia. If you have a fear of high places, don't fret it. 5% of the population suffers from this phobia, and there's no cure. But there is a solution. Grab your smartphone if you're not driving. Text the word ROBES, that's ROBES, to 474747 and download the ROBES Law Group app and open it. Notice that you're just under 4 feet from the ground. That's not too high. Besides, the smart folks over the ROBES Law Group are just tall enough to get the job done. You needn't worry about their height because they'll give you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. And just a friendly reminder, when you hire ROBES from the app, you will receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's 1,000 smackers just from hiring ROBES from the app. Not too many people do that. Remember, text the word ROBES to 474747. Get it? Got it? Problem solved. And now, just as my next-door neighbor predicted, it's time to hammer the scammer. This recent report is brought to you by ROBES Law Group. They fight hard for their clients, because it's the right thing to do. Our show producer, Rick Snyder, has some info on being scammed by fake royalty. Rick, what's that all about?
Well, I got a scam. Have you ever gotten an email from someone claiming to be royalty? In their email, they tell you they'll inherit millions of dollars but need your money and bank details to get access to that inheritance. Scammers who operate by phone can seem legitimate and are typically very persuasive. They'll draw you into their scam. They just might do it. Sound friendly, call you by your first name, make small talk to get to know you. All ways the scammers work to get your money. They might even mention exaggerated or fake prizes, products, or services such as credit and loans, extended car warranties, charitable causes. Look, pre-recorded messages or robocalls are scams. If you receive a suspicious phone call or robocall, the easiest solution is to hang up. You can block the caller's phone number and register your phone number on the National Do Not Call Registry. Very important. It'll cut down the number of calls you get. Phishing emails are convincing and trick many people into providing personal data as well. These emails tend to be written versions of scam phone calls. Look, if somebody wants your credit card for any reason other than legitimate websites, don't give it to them. Don't open links. We talk about this every week. It's important you protect yourself. If your kid calls up begging for money, maybe your grandchild, I'm in jail, they won't let me out. Oh well, they did something. Don't send gift cards to get them out of jail. We want to hammer the scammer right here. Alan, back to you.
All right, Rick. Thanks a lot there. I don't use gift cards for anything. That's the safest way to be. Welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. I'm still your host and non-legal order, Alan Mason, along with witness number six, our standby producer, Claudia Vargas. Well, we have a couple of more testimonials, a happy list of clients from the Robes Law Group Facebook site there. It's facebook.com/Robes Law Group. You can go there and look under reviews, and you can see there's a message from Jax. He was in a car accident that resulted in a need for surgery. After many chiropractor appointments, he thought it was a pretty scary and a traumatic experience. The Robes Law Group was there for me the whole way, from coming to meet me at my house when my car was totaled to helping me connect with the most qualified specialists in town. They treated me like family, and they do. They really do. He also goes on to say, if you've been in an accident and you're unsure of what to do, don't worry. Call the Robes Law Group and let them coach you through the whole process dealing with your case. Robes Law Group shouldn't be your first or your second consultation with an attorney. It should be the only one. That's pretty good, Jack. I couldn't have written that better myself. And then Vinny says, a stressful, unpleasant, inconvenient as dealing with the outcomes of a car accident could be, the Robes Law Group team always made sure the entire process went smoothly and stress-free. And that's really what it's all about. You went on to say, I was taken care of from start to the end on every step. So much you didn't need to make a single phone call, whether following up on car repairs with the body shop or recovering my deductible. Everything was handled by the amazing staff at the Robes Law Group. I will definitely recommend them to my friends, family, and if you need personal injury lawyers, these are the folks to call. Keep up the good work and the outstanding job at the Robes Law Group. A good family, and thank you. We appreciate the testimonials, and folks, we're not making them up. You can go to the Facebook site and read for yourself. These are fine folks at the Robes Law Group. And I know Esteban personally. He's a maniac, I have to say. You use the app and call that app at 3 a.m. I guarantee you Esteban will call you back within 10 or 15 minutes as soon as he gets the sleep out of his eyes. and he'll call you. And he's told me, he says, yeah, I get 2-3 o'clock in the morning calls. A Friday night, you're out and about and somebody's drinking and
oh yeah,
and
it
guess,
happens.
Guess what? You're done for, right? So if you're looking for a good outcome, call the good folks at the Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700. And anything else you want to throw in there?
I don't think so.
I think we covered most of it, right?
I think we covered most of it. Hopefully you'll have me on again and we'll get some phone calls.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes people don't like to talk about certain issues.
No, they don't.
Yeah, when you're talking about divorce, you get on the air and somebody recognizes your voice and the next thing you know is, hey, Jim, I didn't know you were getting a divorce.
Right.
And then the wife finds out. It's a double jeopardy kind
it
of
is.
Thing, right?
Yep.
You have to keep this pretty much secret, or how's that?
Well, there have been some times we have clients come in and they don't want us emailing things to the email because the other spouse has access to that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Depending on the situation, it can be somewhat secretive.
You know, you have to keep that stuff in mind nowadays, right?
You do.
You send a nasty email to Lisa Page and Mr. Strzok there? They were sending love notes
over
the text, and
yeah.
they got nailed. Are you that stupid? I mean, come on, that's public stuff, the text.
I tell people all the time, if you put it in writing, it can be an exhibit in court.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We always say what you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could jeopardize the outcome of your case.
Right.
In this case, what you text and don't text could also do that, and email as well.
And I can't even begin to tell you some of the things I've read on text messages.
Hey, wait a minute. That sounds like a good...
I think we'd have to be on satellite radio for that.
Before we can talk. Yeah. Gosh, it gets messy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And there's no way, like you said, dealing with the emotion. Who wants to go through that? That's crazy.
A lot of times these people, when they're going through this, should probably have a therapist. And I'm not even joking.
And what's the number for that?
It's a very emotional time for people, especially when there are kids involved.
How long does that, now the kids up to 18 and you don't have to pay child support anymore.
18 and graduated.
Oh,
if they have be 18 and still in high school, if they have a reasonable expectation of graduation until the age of 19, then you'll continue to pay child support until they graduate high school.
How about if the other person gets married again?
That doesn't affect child support, but it could terminate alimony. Correct.
Yeah, but not child support.
Not child support.
Wow. That's good to know. You know who to call. Sean Gerhart, he's the guy that has all the answers that you need to know. We want to thank you for joining us this Saturday and every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Listen to Lifestyles and Law today right here on West Palm Beach's flagship station, WJNO 1290, every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock. Next week, we're going to have on Audria Simovich. She's a guardian protection for mental health and abuse victims. Abuse, that's probably... what most of the people that go through a divorce go through, right? A little bit of abuse. Woo! Yeah, okay. Be sure to tell your good-hearted friends about the show. Any friend of yours is a friend of ours. We hope our mission was not impossible, and the legal knowledge ebbs and flows throughout the outlets of the media. This show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Originates from the iHeart Studios in West Palm Beach. Executive producer John Mitchell. Show producer Claudia Vargas. Audio engineer John Nutter. And I'm your host, Alan Mason. We'll sneeze you next week.